You guys, and welcome back to another Nate Max project meeting gathering. I know it's been a while in between videos, so thank you guys for tuning and constantly checking to see when the next video is coming out. Now today we have the amazing James Bartley, who's coming on, and he's here in Australia. Lucky for us, we don't have many big players here in Australia, so it's really good to have someone local that we can network with. Now James has been in the industry for about 20 years doing big things and putting information out there. And James has investigated alien abductions, and particularly reptilian abductions and military abductions, or MILABs. Now, a lot of you guys might be hearing the word MILABs out there recently, who are new to this because of Max Spears, who passed on and was part of the MILAB military industrial laboratory experiments. Now, James is a protege of the legend alien abduction researcher, Barbara Bartholik. James is also an independent historian with an emphasis on intelligence, counterintelligence, and special operations. He is a student of the military of history from antiquity to modern times, and he has made an in-depth study of the military industrial financial security complex, which developed after World War II. He hosts his own radio station and internet webcast based out of Tucson, Arizona, but now he's on the east coast of Australia, so that works out very good for us and very good for the people here of Australia. And we also have a seminar coming up in Ryde, which we're going to talk more about. So people who are from Sydney and New South Wales, I highly recommend you guys, if you resonate with this podcast, with this webcast, to come down, meet and together. One of the most important things we can do is we do our work and put our information out there on the internet, but we really need to take first world action. And that means getting out there and networking with people, going there, starting groups, talking about this and getting it out there in the real world, because the internet's a closed circuit loop. You know, the internet is basically in its own little realm. And if we constantly do stuff on the internet, but we don't get out in the real world, that information's getting stuck there. And it's not hitting the politicians. It's not hitting people who aren't connected to the internet. This is a really important thing we can do. And each person has a role and has a purpose to play. We don't need a million healers out there. We don't need a million speaker, mentor, life coaches. We need people who are in every industry, people who are plumbers, people who are teachers, people who are electricians, going around and planting the seeds. That's the most important thing we can do, is plant seeds wherever we go. But not only plant seeds, but be that expression of truth, be that expression of love, and really, really be what we're talking about. There's a big difference between talking the talk and walking it. So it's up to everyone to step up now and everyone to really investigate this type of information. Now, 3-4 years ago, this information for a lot of people would have been too much. But what I'm finding is a lot of people are inboxing me now, messaging me and going, hey, can you send me some more links about reptilians? The word reptilian keeps coming up and it resonates, because this has been part of our history, part of our genetic disposition and so many other facets of our life for so many years. But now people are starting to get their memory back. They're starting to lose their amnesia. We're starting to question much more deeply. So this is a really beautiful thing to see people coming online and doing the research. And now having people like James, who I've only networked with recently, and I'm so impressed with his information. I'm really impressed with his YouTubes and his podcasts and all the information that's out there. It really resonated. And I was like, wow, this guy's about solutions. He's about answers and he's about protocol. What's going on? How does it affect me and what can we do about it? So guys, I'd like you to welcome James Bartley, and thank you for joining us, James.
Thank you for having me on, Nate. I've been really looking forward to this interview. Thank you for having me on here.
And we are recording, so good. We had a bit of interference there.
Yeah, one thing that I'd like to impress upon your listeners is the fact that there is a non-human intelligence at work that's driving the whole surface level outward manifestation of what people call the New World Order, the Illuminati, whatever the case may be. I direct people's attention to the artifact that Klaus Donia found or at least someone brought it to his attention. It looks like a miniature plinth, and under ultraviolet light, you see what is now known as the eye above the pyramid. And you also see the Orion constellation.
Right.
And the artifact is conservatively estimated to be about 6,000 years old, if not older. So that's long before Adam Weishaupt, long before the Bilderberg meetings, right? But we're and also, when we really get deep into the subject, we'll find that the megalithic structures that we take for granted on Earth are very unusual on the one hand, because they can't be built with normal engineering practices. And then if one takes at face value some of the imagery that's come back from Mars, like some of the work that Richard Hoagland and others have done, there are huge megalithic structures of artificial nature on Mars too. So pyramids are not even native to Earth. They're found elsewhere. So people have to remember that the concept of alien abductions and encounters with non-human life forms and non-human life forms having a, at times, malign influence upon human society, this concept goes back to antiquity. You look at the traditional lore of just about every indigenous society around the world, the Jicarillo Apaches at the Jicarillo Apache Reservation near Dulce, New Mexico. We're talking about little beings that came along and took away Indian children and Indian women, or Apache women rather, and Apache children, long before the stories of Dulce, the underground base there, came out. And then you look at the work of William Evans Wentz, an American who wrote a book in 1909, it was published, I believe, called The Fairy Faith in Celtic Countries. William Wentz went all over Northern Europe and all over Scandinavia and Scotland and elsewhere, and obtained lots of information from the traditional elders, if you will, about what they perceived to be the fairy folklore. And when we hear the term fairy these days, it's said in a dismissive way. Oh, that's a fairy tale. That's fairy tale nonsense. In the old days, in the Celtic countries, the term fairy was met with trepidation, because the term fairy denoted beings that came at night, took away children, returned changelings, right? There was also a relativistic aspect to it too, which is also echoed in modern day accounts of alien abductions, where someone is taken away, the fairies take somebody away for what seems like an hour or a day, and then they're returned and much time has passed in the village in which they were taken from. People thought the guy was dead. And what's interesting is the person is returned, he still looks the same as he was when he was abducted, but everyone else is aged, right? And we have stories of Travis Walton, who was abducted and missing for 5 days, and I know other stories where people were gone for 7, 8, 9, 12 days. We just don't hear much of these stories. So it should be noted that the stories of non-human intelligences, non-human life forms, extraterrestrial, interdimensional, and subterranean interacting and messing with the people on the surface, this goes back to antiquity.
Definitely.
And it's a commonality throughout all these cultures throughout the world.
And actually, I did a seminar with Cara St. Louis, and she's doing the rounds now talking about the Fae, which is a fairy realm too. So she's starting to put that information out there and starting to come to light on the internet, which is great, because we have to really question every single facet of the history that we've been told. This lifetime, I'm finding now, is about unlearning everything we've ever learned, emptying that cup out, and then going, right, my cup is empty, my belief system has been smashed to bits, now let's focus on what I didn't learn before, and let's start adding stuff to my cup, adding stuff to my belief system that's outside my current belief system. And that's, I think, what we have to do. We have to shake apart our belief system, look at the questions out there, look at the ancient civilizations and all the information they're trying to hide from us, and question yourself and go, why are they trying to hide these things from us? Why are we being met with such resistance whenever it comes to UFO phenomenon? There's four things that you can talk about on the internet and you'll get giant resistance. That's Zionism, that's vaccines, that's UFO abductions, and you can do the Holocaust too, and you have a lot of resistance to that one. So when you start talking about these things, I urge people, do a post out there on vaccines. see what happens. Do a post on UFO phenomenon. You'll have all these critics and all these trolls come in because this is something they don't want getting out, because this actually connects us with the multidimensional reality. Rather than us being a skin suit, walking around worshipping Muhammad and Jesus and all these demigods, okay, and is trapped in this very, very localized, disempowering system, it's like, wow, you guys are from the stars. You guys are star seeds. You've been created through different genetics. You've been altered throughout time. You've been here many times before. And the lineage goes back for millions and millions of years. We're talking something so unbelievably big that's unfathomable for the normal person. So this is like keeping us boxed in, you know. This is all a control system to keep us boxed in and just go to work, pay your taxes, do your thing. And that's what we have to break free from. That's why the information that's coming out is so profound and they're so scared of it. But they're so scared of this information reaching the public domains because, hey, what happens if people start using critical thinking again? What happens if people start questioning the system, questioning the medical system, questioning the government? What grounds were the government designed on, you know? So this is where we're at. 2017, the mass ascension wave, but not let's get confused with ascension, leaving the planet and all this stuff. There's a false white light movement going on there too. And every facet of religion and environmental groups and the new age or new cage movement, as I like to call it, it's all been hijacked in some way. So if we can break free from this and then start relearning this information, like with the information you're going to get today, we're going to see a world that's going to change vastly in the next few years, because we're at a point where the snowball has just fallen off the top of the hill and it's getting momentum and it won't be stopped.
I look at the work done by a couple of recent guests on my show, on my podcast. You can find it at thecosmicswitchboard.com. I had Jim Vieira and I had Hugh Newman. Hugh Newman is an expert on megaliths and megalithic sites. And he and Jim Vieira go all over the world. Jim Vieira has done a lot of research onto the subject of giant skeletons that have been found many times in North America, oftentimes associated with so-called Indian burial mounds. So what we have is this body of evidence that's been covered up because it radically conflicts with this concept of not only Darwinism, Nate, as you know, but the concept of social Darwinism. And this also ties into the whole cultural Marxism concept too, where there's this concept of the elite and then the controlled. So, but if everyone gets the idea that, wait a minute, we're multidimensional infinity with the sum of all of our parts. Many of us have had not only past lives here on Earth, in ancient Egypt and Lemuria, and also past lives in other star systems. Well, that's a whole nother ball of wax because it runs the gamut. And I bring a parallel with J.R.R. Tolkien's Lord of the Rings, which has been made into these cinematic spectacles these days. Because they're talking about a time in those movies and those books where giants, little people, and normal-sized humans coexisted. And this is a commonality in the lore, again, of all these indigenous societies all over the world. It's only in the last 100 years, the malign influence that the Rockefeller Foundation, the Carnegie Endowment, and all of these tax-exempt foundations pouring money into the university system and all the way down to grade school level and churning out, the intention is to churn out all these people with no sense of history, overly vaccinated, et cetera, et cetera. And then you look at the other end of the spectrum. I talked about giants before. Hugh Newman says in the lore of just about every megalithic site in the world, the local tradition always holds that giants were involved in some way with the formation of these giant megalithic sites. And then you look at the little people. I had Mary Joyce on my show several weeks back, a few months back. And she talked about the Cherokee little people. The Cherokee Native Americans talk about this group of little people that live in, you know, like little tunnel systems in the ground. And they look for all the world. They dress for all the world like Native Americans, albeit they're much shorter. And here on the continent of Australia, north of Australia, you have in Papua New Guinea, if memory serves, there was a small hominid skeleton found of a 2-foot-tall being, which they've nicknamed the Hobbit, right? And so there, it's in the fossil record that there are little people, and there are little people that are described as looking like miniature Native Americans and this little people that are described in North America as looking like what the wee folk, what the gentry, what the fae would have been described as wearing lederhosen, hats, shillelaghs, right?
Yeah.
I mean, and to this day in places like Iceland, they still talk about seeing on a somewhat routine basis little people, little tiny people. So giants, little people, humans, that's only been put into the rubbish bin in the recent past. Mm. But in the lore of humanity around the world, it's a commonality and it's regarded as being a fact. Now let's look at the other area where I have done a lot of study, and that's in military intelligence, black ops. A lot of people think, well, you know, my cousin has a top secret clearance in the U.S. Air Force, and he never heard anything about UFOs, ergo, it's not real. That's patently absurd, and it bespeaks an ignorance about the way classification, compartmentalization, special access programs need to know works, okay? Because the people that I've spoken to, and I've spoken to former F-86 Sabre pilots from the 1950s, I've spoken to people who worked in secret installations in the Arctic Circle that were monitoring the UFO activity there. I've spoken to people that have worked in underground facilities, okay? And many of them and my colleagues in the field have also developed sources in the aerospace underground bases in the Antelope Valley in Southern California, and developed sources in places like Edwards Air Force Base. Yeah. And it's not unusual for these people, once you get to know them, to share information. Like, I was at a facility, you know, and there was like UFOs flying over the base. The base went into alert. Everything was shut down. Jets were scrambled. Very common scenarios. And then you'll run into people who talk about seeing alien bodies or having taken part in the retrieval of crashed alien spacecraft. Mm. One of my recent guests on my show was Paul Blake Smith, who talks about the Cape Girardeau, April 12, 1941, crash retrieval of an alien spacecraft in Missouri in 1941. And that was 6 years before Roswell. So for 70, 80 years, roughly, deep black elements of the military and what became the Aerospace Corporation conglomerate have been working on alien technology, studying the metallurgy, the chemistry, the propulsion systems, the fuel sources. Their understanding in these deep black weird science projects of physics, of cosmology, is nothing like what they teach on the surface. No. Okay, so we must understand that that's where the twain meets. We have the ancient lore of the people who talk about, another example, more recently, the Jicarillo Apaches on the Jicarillo Apache Reservation near Dulce, New Mexico. In the last 30 years, since the 1970s, we've been hearing stories about a tremendous underground base beneath Dulce, New Mexico, where alien life forms and human military and human contractors coexist and work in parallel with one another. Yes. Yeah. But the fact of the matter is the Jicarillo Apaches have been talking about non-human life forms kidnapping Apache women, kidnapping Apache children for centuries, long before the Spanish invasion. Mm. So we just need a little perspective. Why is there so much rubbishing going on about the subject of UFOs? Why did the CIA, starting in 1953, promulgate a comprehensive debunking and ridiculing of witnesses through the controlled corporate media on the one hand, and using paid academics to dismiss and reduce all UFO sightings, all UFO encounters as misidentifications of normal phenomena or hoaxes. Since 1953, that has been established CIA policy. Look up the CIA Robertson panel. That was held for 3 days, convened for 3 days in January 1953. It came on the heels 6 months previously of UFO flyovers over the restricted airspace in Washington, D.C. on two successive July weekends when jet interceptors were scrambled into the sky, radar stations on the ground and in the air, airborne radar picked up multiple UFOs, numerous witnesses in the air and on the ground saw UFOs. Back then, the media was all over the story. Flying saucers outrun jets, okay? Yeah. So it's only in the recent past when the whole subject of UFOs has been rubbish. And you have to ask yourself, why is that?
Exactly. And you were saying about the little people just then. I actually live on a sustainable community in northern New South Wales, and that's sacred Aborigine land. I don't call them Aboriginals because Aboriginal is abstract for non-original. So basically we call them originals here to give them their proper, you know, branding. And we have a couple of Aborigines living on our property, and they tell us these stories of the land and the area. And there's a bunch of little people who do live in the valleys and the hills where we are, because there's a birthing cave, there's sacred ceremony places on our property. And a woman who I live with up there, on two or three separate occasions, she's seen what she thought was a young child, a little dark boy running through the bush, dressed in tribal clothing. And then she spoke to the Aborigines, and they're talking about these little people. They have a name for them. I'm not exactly sure what it is, because I only found out not long ago that my roots, I have Aborigine in my roots as well. So that's a fact from there. And also in a place called Mount Yango, which will probably be inland from you, I'd say, as a place where we do sweat lodges and a lot of work out there. There's a big, massive mountain called Mount Yango. It's one of those flat tabletop mountains. And there's all stories of not only Sasquatches around there, but also little people. It's all in the folklore and all in the history. And no one's been up Mount Yango for 800 years. It's not even allowed. Aborigines aren't even allowed to go up Mount Yango. And it turns out that our shaman, I'm not going to say his name, he knows the place very well. He said at the cover of storms and night, helicopters fly to the top of this mountain and then they land. There's apparently a military base in and amongst Yango. And Yango is a powerhouse. It's a stargate. It's something really, really profound there. All the song lines in Australia connect into Yango. So the government and the mystery schools and all these people, they understand this next level of information, the ley lines, the grid works, putting churches on these places, fracking in different places on Earth to offset Mother Earth's natural biorhythm, the Schumann frequency coming out. So they've kind of been onto it for a while, and now we're catching up. And that's why there's so much ridicule about the UFOs and about this disinformation, because once we piece together the puzzle, which we are, the whole house of cards comes crashing down. So yeah, love you to continue on. This is great.
Well, you make a very good point about the little people. One of our friends way over on the other side of Australia, she's an original person. She's plugged in tight with the elders in her family, and they talk about the little people too. And they're in the other side of Australia, yeah. Right? And the Native Americans in Georgia, Tennessee, and some people that have property, you know, white fellows that have property, they see the little people. So it's another commonality. Now, as far as the concept of, you hear this a lot in our modern era, oh, blue beam, whenever, you know, anyone sees a UFO, that's either a man-made craft that people think is a UFO, or it's a hologram projection by blue beam. But that's very much putting the cart before the horse, because people will say, well, DARPA is behind blue beam, this hologram kind of psyop kind of thing. But where did DARPA come from? DARPA's original name in the late 1940s, early 1950s was the Joint Army Navy Research and Development Board. And the Joint Army Navy Research and Development Board was deeply involved in the back engineering of recovered alien technology from Roswell, from Aztec, New Mexico. There was a crash near the Texas-Mexico border. There was Cape Girardeau. There was Spitsbergen in Norway in 1950. There was numerous crashes that were going on at that time period. Some of the giants in scientific engineering history have been deeply involved in the back engineering and analysis of alien technology. Dr. Vannevar Bush was the head of the Office of Scientific Research and Development set up prior to World War II. He also set up the National Defense Research Council, or committee rather. The Office of Scientific Research and Development was the parent organization from which programs to develop the proximity fuse, different types of radar were developed under the auspices of OSRD, and the Manhattan Project was known as S1. That was a branch of the Office of Scientific Research and Development. No surprise that a guy who specializes, Dr. Vannevar Bush was an MIT engineer, Massachusetts Institute of Technology. No surprise that a guy who specialized in creating off-the-books, special access programs, compartmentalized need-to-know weapons research prior to and during World War II would also wind up being part of this secret back engineering effort. And Paul Blake Smith, who I alluded to earlier, he says that in his research, Dr. Vannevar Bush was in the Oval Office talking to President Franklin Roosevelt in the hours and days after the UFO crash in Cape Girardeau, Missouri, April 12th, 1941. Okay, here's another couple of names, and many of your historically minded listeners will be familiar with these names. Dr. John von Neumann has been conclusively identified as being involved in the back engineering of alien technology. Dr. Vannevar Bush and Dr. John von Neumann and Oppenheimer were identified by Dr. Robert Sarbacher. Dr. Robert Sarbacher was a Pentagon consultant in the 1950s who had his own missile development corporation. Later, he became the dean for the Washington Institute of Technology. And he wrote in a letter in 1983 to William Steinman, a very dogged, determined UFO researcher who was inquiring about the Aztec UFO crash in 1948 in particular. In response, Dr. Robert Sarbacher said, "This is what I know for sure, that the following scientists and engineers were involved. Dr. Vannevar Bush, who I just mentioned, yep. Dr. John von Neumann was definitely involved, and he said Dr. Robert Oppenheimer also. And he also mentioned that Dr. Werner von Braun was probably consulted, and that some of the other scientists that Steinman had wanted information on may have been asked, but he didn't know for sure. He also went on this to mention the Joint Army-Navy Research Development Board, headed up at the time in the 40s and 50s by Dr. Carl Compton. Dr. Carl Compton was the brother of Dr. Arthur Compton, who won a Nobel Peace Prize for research in the cosmic rays. Okay, so yeah. We're not talking about a bunch of tinfoil hat conspiracy theorists. Mm. We're talking about some of the giants of modern science and engineering. Dr. John von Neumann was one of the original key computer scientists and mathematicians. Actually, he knew Alan Turing was one of his, you can think of him as one of his proteges in America when Turing went over to study for a while under the auspices of Newman's scientific branch and mathematics branch. John von Neumann was a mathematician who was a consultant with the Manhattan Project and also helped in the development of anti-tank warfare and projectiles that pierced the thick German armor in World War II. Right. Robert Oppenheimer, need I say more about him? He was a director of the lab at Los Alamos. Prior to that, he did fast neutron research at Berkeley, and he also worked in Caltech. So we're talking about some of the giants, but the point of relevance is, after a number of name changes, Joint Army-Navy Research and Development Board, it became Advanced Research Development Board, and finally it became DARPA.
Yes.
So to say that DARPA is behind Bluebeam is very much like putting the cart before the horse,
yes.
Because DARPA used to be this organization which was heavily involved in the back engineering of alien technology. And it's not like the end of the Indiana Jones movie, folks. They don't just crate these things up and put them in a dusty warehouse. They try to weaponize these things,
right.
Okay? They don't use, here's another issue, right? They don't use fossil, so-called, even the term fossil fuels is a misnomer. It implies scarcity. It's the artificial scarcity model, right? They don't use things like petroleum to power these craft, okay? And these craft get here not only from other star systems, they come here from other universes, other dimensions. Right? So that's the level of technology we're talking about. And I'm going to go into all these aspects as much as I can cram in a four and a half hour lecture at West Ryde League's Eastwood Club coming up on March 25th.
And Project Bluebeam, for people out there, is basically what it is, well, what they're saying it is. Seeing we've got so much terraforming going on in the skies, the geoengineering, there's so much fine fibrous particles floating around, aluminium, barium, strontium. These particles are highly reflective. So what they're saying is that they can project a holographic image in the sky, like what they did with 9/11, and they can create an alien spaceship and all these scenarios pan out. So that's what Project Bluebeam is, if you people haven't heard of it before. So that's a good way of kind of saying, it's an easy thing just to throw Project Bluebeam at any sort of strange anomaly in the sky. You know, it's a simple way they try and discredit things. That's the same way as when Roswell came out. They coined the term conspiracy theorists just to discredit anyone that's questioning the mainstream narrative. And this is a massive disinformation program which is going on, trying to discredit people who are putting truth out there. So, yeah, and it's very interesting about DARPA too, about how they've had so many name changes. Because this is just like ISIS, ISIL, Al-Nusra, Al-Qaeda.
Al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula, yeah, or Arabian Gulf, and just like rebranding of it, you know?
Yeah. And then they
Another thing I should mention is there's also this meme that goes around that any UFO you see is really man-made craft, mm-hmm, right? But again, that's putting the cart before the horse. No less an authority than Ben Rich, the late director of Lockheed Skunk Works. And remember, folks, back in the day, there was only a handful of aircraft companies, which later morphed into the huge aerospace corporations conglomerate, right? And so there was only 6 or 7 or 8 different aircraft companies. Lockheed was one of them.
Okay.
Lockheed created the P-38 Lightning in World War II, the C-130 Hercules transport plane, which is still the mainstay, even if Air Force Special Operations Wing to this day, they have a modified version called the MC-130 Talon and all its different variations. Yep. But it's still basically the C-130. And so we have all these planes that have been developed by Lockheed. Well, the director of the Special Advanced Development Wing of Lockheed called Skunk Works was none other than Ben Rich, who was the protege of the guy who founded Skunk Works, Kelly Johnson. It was Kelly Johnson who chose Site 51, Area 51, Watertown Strip, Groom Lake, whatever you want to call it. It was Kelly Johnson who chose that site to develop the spy planes, U-2 spy plane and SR-71. Mm. And Ben Rich said, in what amounted to a deathbed confession, was that the military already traveled the stars. Mm. There was a problem in the equations. And I would suggest that equation would probably be Einstein's general theory of relativity. It's my guess.
Totally.
Rich said that there's a problem with the equations. We corrected those equations, and now it won't take people lifetimes to get to other star systems. And he went on to say that the military already traveled the stars, and we have the technology to take ET home, that we've developed small fleets of man-made craft based on alien technology. I would beg to differ. I think they have large fleets of man-made craft based on alien technology. He also said that there's an intrinsic connection between what they used to refer to as ESP, extrasensory perception, psi abilities, psychic abilities, with the navigation of the craft, mm-hmm, because these craft move at such high speed that there needs to be a cybernetic psychic link between the pilots and the craft, in order to affect all the instantaneous moves and everything. Like, and that, I remind the listeners of another individual, Dr. Herman Oberth, right? Who was a consultant with the U.S. Army at the Huntsville Missile Development Center in Huntsville, Alabama, also was a consultant at Redstone Arsenal. He mentored Wernher von Braun. And Herman Oberth said, the reason why flying saucers and alien craft, and I'm paraphrasing here, don't make loud booms, you know, breaking the sound barrier, etc., is because they generate their own artificial gravity field. Right. So everything down to the last molecule inside these craft all move in unison. So there's no inertial gravity, there's no G-force, there's nothing like that, okay? Okay. So you cannot dismiss Dr. Herman Oberth as a tin foil hat wearing conspiracy theorist. He was a consultant at the U.S. Army's Missile Development Center at Huntsville and also Redstone Arsenal. We're talking about some of the giants of aviation. Another guy, Dr. Doolittle, Jimmy Doolittle, the guy who led the B-25 Mitchell raid on Japan. He was a well-known alien hunter in his day. And he wore multiple hats. Not only was he very high up in intelligence circles. In fact, he was at one time the chairman of the president's intelligence advisory board, but he also, and was also high up in Air Force intelligence circles, he was also an executive with Shell Corporation. And as such, he sat in on many of these high-level military intelligence corporate meetings regarding alien technology. You cannot dismiss Dr. Doolittle as being a conspiracy theorist. It just doesn't wash.
Wow. That's so profound. And the fact that these names, people can research them, is, makes it much, much easier for people to go back and do their own research and go, wow, because you're really just scratching the surface on that.
Yeah, just one quick point. Anyone who's a student of military history, I hate the term World War II buff, General Nathan Twining, commander of the 15th Air Force in World War II, also Com Air Sols, commander Air Force's Solomon Islands in World War II. He later was head of Air Materiel Command at Wright Field, later became Wright-Patterson Air Force Base at the time of Roswell. He was scheduled to do an inspection on a B-29 plant in Washington State when Roswell happened. He had to cancel his inspection. It was known. It was in his itinerary. It's in his memos that he had to cancel his appointment in Washington State for something very important that occurred in New Mexico. And then eyewitnesses spotted him in New Mexico at the time of Roswell. Other big shots like General Curtis LeMay, it was his firebombing campaign, B-29s, that scorched most of Japan during World War II, right? So we're talking about some of the giants in military history in the intelligence field and in science and engineering that we know for a fact that aliens and alien technology are real because they've worked with it.
Right, big players. And so how does this all link in now with the reptilian agenda and the military industrial MyLab scenario? Because people are hearing the word MyLab everywhere and they're not understanding this is not only physical, this is etherical based, and this is multidimensional. So we have to break out of three-dimensional thinking, understand that there's multiverses, there's multi realities playing out at the same time, and we're multidimensional. So we're going upwards, we're going sideways, we're going in, we're going out, we're going everywhere. So this is the next phase, which links in the spiritual realm to the 3D, to the consciousness, to the fake demiurge God entity that sits at the top of the fourth dimension, claiming to be God of all of Earth, and our higher self, and so on and so forth. So we're really getting into territory now where if you don't know a protocol, it can become very confusing because there's so much interference from beings that start sending information that we can get tricked. There's a lot of people that are channeling people and channeling ascended masters and guides and angels and all these things. And it's like, these things have been around for epochs of time. They've been around for millennia and they're very smart. They're very clever. And this is all about an energy exchange. We've got energy and it depends what we use the energy for. It's not evil. It's not good. It's just wherever the energy is used. And are we having an exchange? Are we channeling something in exchange for genetics harvesting, for vital life force energy harvesting? Or is it to trick us, to basically just trick us up one little bit where we were going on our track quite nicely and then we headed off in this direction and we missed something very important because there's a lot of manipulation, interference, and that links in with the UFO abductions. I have a bunch of friends who have had UFO abductions and it's like they've been knocked off their organic timeline and it's who's to say were they going to have a car accident or actually was something amazing going to happen and then they got knocked off that timeline and now they're on a different timeline. So this, you know, I don't even know what's going on half the time with the stuff that's happening to me, let alone people out there who are in a family who are unconscious. You have mum and dad you can't even speak to. You have friends that you can't even talk to about this stuff. It's a very, very tough topic for people who have had these abductions happen to reach out. And who do you reach out to and who do you trust? So I'd love us to do a little bit of a linking in of reptilians, how that agenda works in with the MyLab, because that's what we're going to be talking about. That's what you're going to be talking about at the up-and-coming seminar and ride. So I'd love people to get a feel for this, so then they can come down also and follow up with this five-hour seminar, which is going to be profound information, James.
Well, this is where the twain meets between the esoteric and the super high-tech, super advanced alien technology. A lot of us in the field know that the elite, if you will, the putative rulers of this world, they are of a unique, distinct bloodline. They interbreed obsessively. And this goes back to the dragon bloodlines, the reptilian bloodlines. David Icke talks about this a lot. Now, again, one must have historical perspective about this, right? We look at the Ojibwe Indians in North America. They talk about their creator god, Nana Bush. And what does Nana Bush do? Well, he's compelled to fight the lizard people, right? He could be doing anything with his time, this creator god of his. But in order to safeguard his people, i.e. the Ojibwe Indians, Native Americans, he has to keep battling these lizard people. because the lizard people keep making inroads towards the Ojibwa and want to enslave them, want to interbreed with them. Another common theme that runs throughout all the lore of history, that these non-human life forms, these gods, if you will, routinely mate, interbreed, and create this hybrid progeny, these demigods who wind up becoming, think of Greek history, Greek mythology rather, who wind up becoming these superhumans who have all these powers, all these influences, right? Heracles, the classic example, right? Alexander the Great's mother insists that Alexander was not the product of a union between her and Philip II. Rather, she says that Alexander's real father was Zeus in the form of a serpent.
Wow.
Julius Caesar was said to be the product of his mother's union with an incubus, okay? So these are not things that I made up. These are not things that David Icke just started talking about. This is stuff that's been embedded in the lore, which basically everyone has been made to forget and has been rubbished by the lamestream academic community, the irony of which is many of these people in the academic community in their deep, dark cloisters are part of this hybrid bloodline. Totally. See, because we're supposed to believe that magic with a K at the end is silly and it's nonsense, but it's not nonsense. It's intentions working with energy, working with elemental powers, working sometimes with non-human life forms.
And blood.
So they ridicule and rubbish this, but in the deep, dark cloisters, in the bowels of these gentlemen's clubs, they practice magic with a K in all its various forms. And the ability to manifest changes in our, not only in our dimension, but in other dimensions, is strongest in certain hybridized bloodlines. Because in truth, we humans are a hybrid life form. Some people don't only have the genetic profile of one extraterrestrial race in their DNA profile and morphic resonance field, because it's all about energy and resonance, but some people have the morphic resonance and DNA profile of multiple ET races from a variety of star systems, okay? The Pleiades, the original people of Australia talk about they came from the Pleiades. The Lakota in North America talk about they came from the Sirius system, okay? This talk about people coming from different star systems didn't start with these starry-eyed New Agers, okay? Mm-hmm. I want to make that clear. They're part of the signal-to-noise ratio syndrome, where you have all these people channeling all these ascended masters and claiming to be, walk-ins of this, that, or the other ET race. But they're really there just to create confusion, distortion, and quite frankly, to shame people like me who come along and talk about, you know, frightening, negative, traumatic ET experiences, right? So that's where the twain meets. Because of these hybridized bloodlines, the reptilians, in particular, and the Draco is the wing variety. Think in ancient times of the gargoyles, the winged serpents. That is the Draco, alleged to come from the Draco constellation. Think about Orion, the Orion constellation. Why Orion has such prominence, not only in the lore of so many cultures throughout the world, in some of the Hopi lore, they talk a lot about Orion, but also NASA. Richard Hoagland talks about this. He just points out again and again, the iconography of NASA is Orion symbolism over and over and over. So you, the general listener, if you start to wake up to what I call the surface level manipulation, you're supposed to focus on the fiat monetized debt system, debt scam. You're supposed to focus on, you know, the transnational corporations and these wars for profit and false flag terrorism.
Yep.
But you're not supposed to notice the funny symbols on the court buildings. You're not supposed to notice the funny symbols on the Federal Reserve notes, because those symbols go back long before the formation of the modern surface civilization and also beyond to the stars. If you listen to Freeman, who I was just on Freeman Fly's show, he talked about how Sirius plays a key role in the esoteric knowledge base of these hybridized bloodlines. Mm. So there's more than one hybridized bloodline. You have the hybridized reptilian bloodline that are actually the driving force behind what we're seeing today, these endless wars, the false flag terrorism, the depopulation agenda. And folks, it must be understood that depopulation started long before the Bilderberg Group, started long before the Rockefellers. It was the Rockefellers' ancestors that were behind it. Because if you read a classic book called Gods of Eden, The Gods of Eden by William Bramley, he talks about prior to the plague setting in different parts of Europe, people were seeing UFOs, what amounted to UFOs flying through the sky, trailing a mist behind them, talking about people in what we would perceive to be as diver kind of frogman suits in the wheat fields and in the barley fields with tanks on their backs spraying the crops with some kind of a mist. And then in those areas, the plague developed. And then if you look at the cosmology and the lore, even in the South Sea Islands, north of Australia, they talk about where there would be a Noah-type figure who would be spoken to by a god, a creator god, saying, well, there's too many of you. Well, we've tried plagues. We've tried earthquakes. We've tried wars. We've tried this and that. Now we're going to do something else because we're going to cull your population. Another commonality throughout the world of not only a Noah-type archetype figure being rescued by the gods, but the necessity on the part of the gods, if you will, of culling the Earth's surface population. So always remember that this whole concept of depopulation did not start with Henry Kissinger, who himself is one of these reptilian hybrid bloodlines. It did not start at a Bilderberg meeting. This goes back a long time ago. So these reptilian hybrid bloodlines and their secret societies have essentially created the modern world we see today, where it's all based on artificial scarcity. And now, especially because of cultural Marxism, we're supposed to see everyone as like this demonic other. Oh, that's someone. It's like, oh, no, you have to call me by my right gender, right? Yeah. Everything is based on conflict. Everything is based on acrimony, divisiveness. Now, when you look at us, folks, we're all one race. And when you consider reincarnation, you know, I was Asian in past lives. I was European in past lives. The whole concept of racism is patently absurd anyway, when you consider how reincarnation factors into this. And so you have to ask yourself the deeper question, who does the depopulation agenda benefit? Who does the divide and conquer agenda benefit? It doesn't benefit humans. Fukushima is still going on. The Gulf Horizon oil terminal was not just one oil terminal. It was multitudes of oil platforms constantly gushing out oil. And then they have to go add the core exit. Okay, that's geoengineering right there. So the background radiation count is going up. Does it benefit humans? No. Who does it benefit? That's terraforming. So it's like you have to boil this down to the bare kernels, and then getting back to the reptilian aspect and the MyLab aspect. Okay, so there's this not even sub rosa reptilian human hybrid agenda going on. It's so in your face through Hollywood and through all these monarch MK entertainers and musical artists in front of us all the time with all their hijacked symbolism. When people, especially of a more fundamental mindset, when they see the symbolism, they go, oh, that's Illuminati, that's Luciferianism. Wait a minute. It's like a lot of this stuff started off world. It was hijacked. Okay, a lot of this stuff, the swastika, classic example, and whatever negative connotation somebody, I think the Germans are the most vilified people in the world. I think the Germans have been totally scapegoated. And we saw a replay, albeit on a smaller scale, with Milosevic in Serbia and what they did to the Serbians and fragmentation of Yugoslavia. But, you know, I'm just using the swastika as an example, that it's a symbol that's been utilized and hijacked, but its origins are quite ancient. Yes. So when we see the eye in the triangle, when we see Orion, that's not necessarily evil, folks. Okay, so that's one strand, the reptilian hybrid bloodlines. And then you have all these other hybridized bloodlines. Some of my friends certainly have reptilian DNA. We all have reptilian DNA if we came to this world in the normal fashion. The oldest part of our brain is the R complex. In Special Forces, they talk about the lizard brain. In a lot of the military training, where they try to get the person to go into rage mode and scream as loud as they want, they can. That's trying to get them to tap in to inner rage and an inner reptile. That's what that's all about, right? And these people, serial killers, pedophiles, they all fit a certain genetic neurological profile. Always remember, psychology follows neurology, which follows genetics every time. When you hear these profilers say, oh, these serial murders, they can look like anybody, nonsense. Hooded eyelids, eye sunk deep in the eye sockets, pronounced cheekbones. Just look at all the perps you see that go to the Bilderberg meetings, skull and bones, etc. And then look at pictures of serial murderers.
Yeah.
Right? They don't look like us. They're entirely different. They're hybridized.
They look like
Exactly. And they lack frontal lobe capacity. They lack impulse control. They lack empathy. And that makes them ideal vessels to be taken up as host by these reptilian beings who have the ability to alter their resonance. They can alter their density. And so if someone has a genetic, indeed spiritual predisposition to being taken up as a host by one or more of these entities, reptilians, but reptilians are not the only ones that take people up as hosts. Many other entities do, but for our purposes, reptilians, they take up these people as hybrid hosts. They wind up as pedophiles. They wind up as serial killers. They wind up as financiers and media moguls, okay? And then you look at the other hybrid strains, and the reason the military is kidnapping these people, mind controlling them, and utilizing them as operational assets is because the military, the deep black military, I'm not talking about the ones flying around in jets and the ones, you know, I'm not talking about that military. I'm talking about the weird science, deep black aerospace military conglomerate that interacts on a daily basis with non-human life forms, that military. They know the totality of the human experience. And they've always strived to, if not, not only duplicate and replicate the known capabilities of alien civilizations, they've strived to exceed these capabilities, okay? And let me just tell you, give you small examples of what alien abductees like myself have reported when they're in the presence of aliens, either on an alien ship, alien installation, alien space station, whatever the case may be. Alien abductees can be made to interface with alien technology. They, in a certain altered mind state, altered being state, they can rock right up to alien computer system and start reading alien script on the screen and interface with it, work with it. They can be trained and indeed can fly alien craft. They can operate alien technology. They can be made to, by their alien handlers, pass through solid objects. Their psychic abilities can be amped up so they can utilize telekinesis, move objects with the power of their mind. They can be abducted. Alien abductees are not only abducted physically, they can be abducted astrally. And here's something paradoxical, well, not really. If you remember, Tesla said, with resonance, anything is possible. Alien abductees can be astrally abducted. Their astral soul consciousness matrix can be taken out of their physical body by aliens and nowadays by the military as well. And the aliens can actually perform medical procedures on that person's astral body, and then they send that person back into their physical body, and they will feel discomfort in all the places that their astral body counterpart was worked on.
And that's implants we're talking here too. That's like we're talking people get taken, and they have implants, and they have things put in them, which means it will stifle their spiritual growth. It will shut off
absolutely
from accessing the higher strands of the DNA, which is one of the most important things we can do, is getting our DNA activated and whatever potential we have, getting as high as we can so we can manifest and co-create much more powerfully. And also it can do things where you have a twin flame connection, which is not really, it's a love implant which gets put in there, and then you stay in a toxic relationship for 10 years because you are learning lessons, but really you've actually been manipulated and you're trapped in something toxic. So
it's emotional energetic harvesting is what it is. As my mentor, Barbara Barthola, called it, the drama of the love obsession. So a commonality with many alien abductees, they go through a phase in their life, sometimes more than once, where they become obsessed in a, what they call the alien love bite with somebody, where they just exude all these emotions, run the gamut of rage, jealousy, you know, unrequited love, etc. And meanwhile, the aliens are just lapping it up because these aliens, the negative aliens, are essentially parasites. And we are resonators. We emit frequencies, and it behooves these negative parasitical entities to keep us in a low vibratory ebb, keep us in a narrow bandwidth. And so that, you know, they stick these OCD thought loops into us of hopelessness, despair, loneliness, impotence, rage, confusion. And then you add on top of that the psychiatric tyranny and all the meds and everything else, and you can see the shape the human race is in. It's all designed, folks, to separate us from Source. Because when you remember that you're from Source, you're connected to Source.
So let's
break, it's a game changer. Go ahead, Nate.
So let's break this down for people. So you have off-world manipulation going on, just as James has said. Then you have technological manipulation. We have the Gwen Towers, mobile phones, EMF frequencies, scalar frequency machines, and weapons, which are being sent and targeted to people via the heat signature and many other methods. Okay. Then you have your normal 3D life you're trying to get through, where you're locked into the debt slavery system. Well, most people are. You can exit that. You're paying taxes. You're working 9 to 5. You're doing all these things. You're locking yourself into contracts daily by signing things, by agreeing to scenarios. Even the parking meters at Byron Bay, you put your money in and it says, when you put your money in, checking your rights. And it's like, checking my rights, motherfucker? He goes, I'm a sentient sovereign being. But it's all just codes, coding and contracts.
That's right. It's all based on contracts. And these contracts and these contractual obligations follow one lifetime after lifetime. Maybe someone in a past life dabbled in some of the deep, dark, arcane arts. That's an open invitation that could follow somebody lifetime after lifetime. And go to a government website, and you, before you click on the button, it says submit, right? It's like, what is it? It's telling you, submit. It's not even something that's subconscious. Like Jordan Maxwell and Freeman Fly talk a lot about, it's the words, it's the wordplay, it's the linguistics behind, and it's the energetic, resonant, harmonic behind these words also that sends out like a butterfly effect throughout the ether. But getting back to the MyLab point, thank you for sharing that. You see, abductees and MyLabs have to go through all that surface level stuff, which is increasingly starting to interface with the weird black, you know, weird science stuff. But where the MyLab stuff comes in is that the aliens that are in league, that have been in league for decades now, with certain elements of the deep black aerospace community, many of the key players of which, remember, are themselves these reptilian hybrid warlocks, adepts, right? And let's call them that. These guys that wind up running these intelligence communities, MI6, aerospace corporations. Some of these people are adepts, folks. They're warlocks. Go watch that movie, Doctor Strange, and you get an idea of the capabilities of some of these people. Read books about what Native American shamans and some of the original people in Australia could do, right? The abilities they have, right? What the MyLab controllers are striving to do is, they know based on the genetic bloodline profile and morphic resonance profile of certain alien abductees. They not only know, okay, they're being abducted by the Greys, they've got reptilian DNA, but they also know what other ancestry, star ancestry, some of these people have within them. So they have an idea of the latent, innate metaphysical powers these people have. And so remember I mentioned earlier how in the alien context, the aliens can draw out some of these, capabilities, these metaphysical capabilities within these people. Well, that's what the military is striving to do. Mm-hmm. So they find these people, they identify them through their blood type. This is why they're so obsessed with negative blood, for example. Some of your listeners may have gone through this, that if you have a O negative blood type, for example, or a really rare one like an AB negative blood type, how they're always after you to donate blood. And then when you give them blood, then they lose it and they need more blood. Okay, some of you have gone through this. I know it, right? Because it's happened to my friends. So what they do is they can tell simply by the genetic profile what latent metaphysical powers this person has and what a good idea of their ET off-world ancestry. They abduct these people, they mind control them, they ideally split them off through trauma and other things and advanced mind control, and they create these alter personalities that have these capabilities. One alter personality may be able to interface with alien technology. Another alter personality could fly a craft, for example. So they're utilizing operational assets. We've seen this time and again through history. The Romans with their auxiliaries, the various tribes they conquered. You know, the Romans were never good cavalrymen, so they got the Gaelic tribes that were very good cavalrymen to be their horsemen. You know, they got these Germanic tribes to fight for them. It's the same concept. It's war by proxy. You want to make a point, Nate?
Sorry, this system too also knows when a star child's coming in. The system is they know that this person's going to be incarnating into this family, and they'll try and traumatize the mother during birth. So put as much trauma, as much distraction as they possibly can with the female, so the child comes out a little bit distorted, and then they'll try and get you in instantly with a birth certificate, you know, lock you away, sell your soul off to the Vatican, and they want to take your blood at birth. So to all people out there having children now, no for the vaccinations, no for giving them any blood whatsoever, and no for birth certificates. Stay right away from that. Birth certificate's a contract. The giving blood is also using that for ritual and all types of other scenarios. So steps that you have to avoid. We have to avoid all through life.
We have to recognize the nature of this multiple threat environment we're in. And we can do it with joy in our hearts. We can do it from a grounded, heart-centered, soul-sourced place of being. And there's this notion, you hear this a lot from the fake light workers, New Age Lottie guys, oh, you're so negative. Don't talk to me about reptilians and abductions. And, you know, I'm you know, spiritually evolved beyond that, right? When the ego is activated, folks, that further embeds people into this matrix, right? Because the ego, if used properly, the ego is an interface with our you know, reality, as George Kabasilis points out. Yeah. But when it's an out-of-whack ego, and this, I mean, just look at, you know, the medical community, just look at the universities and just how many left-brained, out-of-whack, ego-driven people you'll find there. Yeah. That opens them up. Not only does it plug them into this matrix even further, embeds them, it opens them up to literally entity attachments. Mm. Because Nate talked earlier about implants. There's also energetic implants, but there's also these energetic cords, which these aliens and these warlocks and adepts and interdimensional beings from many lifetimes ago can install on people. And so they have a, because if it's a soul harvesting, soul recycling agenda, that's the one of the things that we have to break out of. It's not just, okay, we have to, like, you know, get rid of the, you know, overt manifestations of this tyranny, but there's a soul element too, a soul harvesting, soul recycling agenda at work. And by implanting us, by sticking these energetic cords in us, they know exactly when we're coming back in, and they can manipulate things so we're born into a really toxic, narcissistic, reptilian family. And some people, in extreme cases, and it's very common actually, they're born into a satanic ritual abuse family, a government military mind control family, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, we have to be mindful that when we make these dismissive comments about people having alien encounters, alien abductions, oh, they're just crazy, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, you are, when you do that, you are an unwitting asset of the CIA, which initiated this comprehensive debunking, disinfo, ridiculing agenda in 1953. Anyone, as far as I'm concerned, who ridicules this subject is an unwitting asset of the intelligence community, whether you want to believe it or not. So, like, if you're scared, because, okay, frankly, this is a scary subject. If the subject scares you to the point where you have to rubbish it and ridicule it, fine, right? Don't rubbish and ridicule it. You let us work at this level. You work at your level. We're not going to make a judgment about you. We're not going to, you know, cop an attitude. Your job is important too. Let us do what we do. And then you do what we do, but you do, and then we'll just crack on with it. But getting back to the whole MyLab thing, so there's all these people there with a genetic morphic resonance profile. The military accesses them. Aliens access them. Some of these MyLabs wind up in a tug of war. One night they're being abducted by the Draco and the reptilians and the vassal ETs working for the reptilians. Many of the Greys are just minions of the reptilians. They do a lot of the heavy lifting, the abductions, the medical stuff, but they really work within a reptilian sphere of influence. And then on the other hand, some of these people that are having these MyLab reptilian experiences, they're being contacted by Andromedans. They're being contacted by the feline beings that originated in Lyra, and then when their homeworld was destroyed by the reptilians. And you can actually see this in the Thundercats cartoon, where in the very first episode, they show the reptilians blowing up the homeworld of the feline beings. It's right there in front of you, folks. And I know many people, there are many people out there that have memories of their homeworld being blown up. It didn't only happen in this solar system, because the asteroid belt was created by the destruction of a very large planet. Check out Dr. Joseph Farrell's work. He wrote a book called The Cosmic War. He talks about this paleo-ancient interplanetary war that happened right in this solar system, but it happened in other worlds too. So these wars that occurred in places like the Orion Constellation for millions of years, it's taken this long to work its way to this side of the galaxy. And this is where the rubber meets the road, because we're once again in alignment with the galactic core. The dark rift, as the Maya call it, the Kali rift. And so we're being bathed in intensified cosmic rays and gamma rays, and that will activate some of your higher centers, folks. That will activate your DNA. It's part of the agenda behind the perma chemtrail haze above us. It's to block these energetic components out, but it won't work. They can't stop this from happening.
Yeah, and it's like they do it on specific days when the like the solar rays are particularly high, and they know, and that's why certain days you're like, why are they spraying today? They're not spraying on other days. It's not just because they're trying to make us sick and, you know, destroy the earth and the oceans. There's another higher purpose. So I don't know if people realize, but the Schumann frequency is up at 36 at the moment. So
wow.
That's one of the highest it's ever been in history. It's usually around 7. It can get 14.
0.83 was my setting on my rack machine, 7.83.
Right. So, and now it's on 36. So that's what's saying is Mother Earth's fighting back. So where they're doing all this artificial stuff, and she's like, okay, cool, you want to do that? Bang, I'm just going to wind up my frequency. And I know a lot of people at the moment, they're having a lot of astral experiences, dream states coming alive. They're having the psychic ability. So this extra infusion, not only coming from the stars, but coming from Mother Earth, because we have to have both. We have the earthing, the grounding, the negative, and then we have the positive energy, which creates us in the middle, and that's the connection. So a lot of people are too caught up in the etherical. They're not grounded enough. And vice versa. It's about a balance.
Yes.
I mean, I find myself that I don't ground enough. And when I do, life just comes back and it's balanced and it works. But when you get too caught up in the etheric, you're actually unbalanced. And you're probably being about 20% as productive as you could be when you're properly grounded and earthed and balanced and in that place of presentness.
It's another example where the new age, the new cage, as you call it, has put the cart before the horse, because one has to be embodied in order to draw in these higher frequencies, embodied to Mother Earth, embodied to our sun, and then embodied to source, connected to source through embodiment. What they say is you have to raise your vibrations. So they're out there metaphysically and metaphorically and literally banging their heads sometimes on the ceilings, right? When they should be in their body pulling in higher frequencies. But what these negative entities have inculcated into them through telepathy, through OCD thought loops and ego activation is, oh, you know, your human vessel form is so low, and it's like the dirt bag side of the universe. So you have to spiritually evolve, raise your vibrations, and only that way do you ascend, do you evolve. It's completely backwards, opposite of the truth. We have to stay embodied, and that way you pull in higher frequencies. You stay connected to Mother Earth. So Nate is absolutely right. Watch out for the new age, folks. They're everywhere. That's just a whole big trap. And one other thing I want to make about the whole MyLab thing is there are countless MyLabs. Dan Sherman went public, about 10, 15 years ago by now. He's been interviewed by Kerry Cassidy on the Project Camelot show. It's a story, Dan Sherman's, that has not really gained much currency for some reason. But he was a MyLab himself. His mother was an alien abductee, abducted by the Zeta Grays. Again and again, folks, if you do the research into ufology, modern UFO, real UFO research, the Zetas always come up again and again and again. The Zetas are this gray-looking race that have been involved with the military aerospace community for a long time now. And so Dan Sherman's mother was being abducted by Zetas. They genetically modified her. They genetically modified Dan Sherman when he was in the womb. The intention behind it was to make him more telepathic. So one day he would be shunted into a deep black program within Air Force Security Service, now known as the Air Force Electronic Security Command, basically the NSA's Air Force subsidiary. So they knew that one day they would shun him into this deep black program where he would be trained to telepathically communicate with these Zeta Grays. And he was told by his superiors that the purpose behind this is one day, and this comes up again and again, one day there's going to be a time when the electric grid's going to go down, communications will be knocked out, but we're going to have to maintain comms with at least one type of ET race, the Zeta race. And the communications he was getting when he started working there and learned how to telepathically communicate with them, the messages would consist of, from these zeta grays, of a long number designation and then a latitude-longitude coordinate. And he figured out that the long number serial designation identified a particular alien abductee, the zetas abducted. The latitude and longitude coordinate was where they abducted the person and where they returned the person. And Dan Sherman said he just did this constantly. That's the only information that came through. And that was in the 1970s, folks. And I've spoken to my labs who've been used in these weird science and increasingly off-world projects. Remember, I told you, Ben Rich said the military routinely travels the stars. This is all connected, right? Some of these my labs have been utilized in these weird science projects going back decades. It's not a new phenomenon. A lot of people know about it now because, you know, bless his soul, Max Spears, who was revealing a lot of stuff about kidnapping rings, pedophile rings, what have you. There's no doubt in my mind and the minds of our colleagues that he's been taken out. And where there's smoke, there's fire, folks. In no time flat, just like how they came out with this phony Bin Laden raid movie in no time flat, they came out with this Max Spears, you know, docudrama. Yes, where they just make him look like a complete whack job when he was actually one of the real players in the field. And, you know, I'm sad that I had a chance to meet him, but he, you know, because he was going through all these challenges, he had to cancel his appearance at the first ever reptilian conference last May in near Manchester, England. So I regretted not meeting him in person, you know, at that time. So where there's smoke, there's fire. If they're trying to make Max look like a nut, maybe there's a reason behind it.
More to the story. I was actually supposed to interview Max the week of his death, and we've been connecting through Facebook and talking on the internet and that. And I had a lot of interference getting my computer working to do the interview of him, you know. And only that week he kind of passed. Just we've been connecting only for a couple of weeks. It was a very short scenario, as in it felt like you connect to one of your brothers and then they pull the rug from under your feet. And that's, but now what's done, it's spurred a lot more interest. The super soldier word, my lab scenarios, and everything is starting to gain traction. So everything that the evil fractions are doing is actually just getting inverted, and it's being used back on them, because everything's about smoke screens. They take names, yes, and they invert it and they change it.
Everything is an inversion. Everything, vaccines are good for you. GMOs are good. If you're a health nut, then you really are a nut, right? You really are crazy by the twisted standards of today. And another point about the MyLabs, we see an analog, okay? Like, think of the elite units, and not all MyLabs are used in a military sense, a combat sense, but some are. What they do is they oftentimes take the surface level, if you will, skill sets of a given MyLab. And my definition of a MyLab is someone who is a legitimate alien abductee first. There's a lot of people in these weird science MC mind control projects that may not be alien abductees, but they're plugged into these different projects. I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about MyLabs who are legitimate alien abductees first. That's my definition of it, right? And someone could be a first responder on the surface, whether an AMBO, ambulance driver, a paramedic, EMT, etc. They will utilize that skill set in these weird science MyLab ops. Someone who has a medical nursing background, an intern in a hospital, they will use that skill set and they will task them and put them to work in a medical clinic at an underground secret facility. Right. So it just depends on, or if someone's very good in computer work, they can task them to work with extremely high tech database admin kind of work in these underground secure facilities. Mm-hmm. So it's not only military work. I want to make that clear. But you see an analog, because on the surface you see the elite so-called units, the British SAS, the Royal Marine Commandos, British Special Boat Service, Aussie SAS, NZ SAS, et cetera, et cetera. Like, for example, the intelligence paramilitary units of the Commonwealth, so-called, Australia, Canada, other places, they send their intelligence operatives to England to be trained by the British Royal Marine Commandos in a number of specialist skills, right? You see something similar in a MyLab sense, where a MyLab will be trained in marksmanship, in different types of commando techniques, like rappelling out of helicopters, fast roping. They're taught survival techniques because they're told, and this harkens back to what Dan Sherman was told in that project, that because we do have selectively driven cataclysms here, folks, that happen on a cyclical basis. And the Maya talk about the Hopi, all these different cultures. Only the academics don't talk about this. They want you to believe that everything just stays the same for immense periods of geological time. But the fossil record and the geological record just paid to that notion. It's an absurd notion. The surface of this planet has been subjected to a horrific, massive, overnight geological changes that have happened cyclically down through the ages. Because these large planetary bodies do come through our solar system. And when we're in alignment with the galactic center, we get hit by what Dr. Paul LaViolette calls the galactic superwave. It's another story. But what these Maya labs are taught, they're taught how to forage. They're taught how to live in what they would used to call an NBC environment, nuclear, biological, chemical. Right? They're taught how to forage. They're taught how to differentiate between tainted, irradiated, chemically tainted food, etc. They're taught how to gather firewood. They're taught leadership skills, right? They're taught escape and evasion. They're told by their military controllers, when people start getting rounded up, don't go on the buses, don't go to the emergency centers, right? And it's not done for altruistic reasons, folks. These military MyLab controllers have invested lots of resources and mind control programming into these people. They don't want them to wind up in some FEMA camp somewhere. They want to keep utilizing them as an operational asset, right? And I've known of children of MyLabs who became MyLabs themselves were being taught how to loot stores by their military controllers. They're saying, okay, go. You've got 20 minutes to get everything you can out of this department store. And, teenage girls being teenage girls, they come back with makeup. They come back with, and then the military people say, no, no, no. You know, you got to go to the pharmacy, get antibiotics, go over here and get Scotch whiskey because that's a good barter item. Right? Mm. Go get these batteries, go get these flashlights, torches. So they're taught survival skills, folks. Now you have to ask yourself, and they're taught, like many of us, and I'm not saying it's going to happen, because we live in like a point of merging frequencies, merging dimensions, and timelines that seem to jump, and they're running parallel, but occasionally the twain meets. So a lot of us have had dreams of tsunamis, of two suns in the sky, of earth changes, what have you. That's not to say it's going to happen in our timeline, but the potential exists, and we ought to be prepared for it. If the MyLabs and the deep black military are going to be training for it and preparing for it, look at how the NSA and all these spook agencies have relocated to the Utah desert, okay? Because seismically, it's very sound. If they're going to go there, well, what do they know that you don't know? So trust your inner instinct. Trust that you will be where you will be guided to be.
Exactly. And that, what you said about people have memories of tsunamis and things like that, a lot of these memories are actually things that have happened in the past, which the evil fractions are trying to then re-put into the timelines now.
That happens too.
Yeah, but seeing we're making the right decisions at the moment, these realities aren't playing out. But if we were to make a whole bunch of wrong decisions from now onwards, these realities can basically start to manifest and create. So you have people messing with the timelines, going back in time and trying to implement scenarios to play out now, but to deal with, once again, our consciousness, our frequency and what we're up to, that's determining whether that's going to happen or not. You've got CERN and machines like that, which also trying to alter and twist and rip holes in the time continuum. So this
it is.
Could go on for hours and hours and hours because there's so much happening out there. Yeah. So.
And we have to be careful that we don't bring in the reality that they want us to bring in. And Nate is actually absolutely right. It's just, I'm only pointing out that some people have had these, because in truth, Nate is right, because some of us have lived through the cataclysms in Atlantis and died in the cataclysms of Atlantis. Some of us have lived in World War II and, what a crucible to prepare you for, what's going on, what may happen down the pike. But I do believe that the worm has turned, that the energetic shift is favoring us. And for once, these controllers, human or otherwise, they're behind the eight ball, not us, because a lot of them are not handling this energetic shift right. As my friends in Texas would say, they're going batshit crazy. And look around at society. You have all these people basically just going nuts because they can't handle the energetic shift. Mm. And it's not just them not handling, it's the entities working through them. Some of these people may have been borderline host. A lot of energy attachments, but they haven't really controlled them. But now with this flux state we're in, it's easier for some people to be taken up as hosts and they're going crazy as a result. But at the same time, people that stay embodied, stay grounded, create this bubble of harmony and joy around you, it doesn't matter what happens really around you, you're going to be fine. Because ultimately, we're infinite beings, right?
That's right.
That's what we have to remember, that fear is something that we can dispense with. It's just something that's an inhibitor, and it doesn't really apply to what we need to do here.
And so what we want to do with this podcast tonight is make people understand, yes, this is going on, right? This is all happening. This is going on whether you want to put your head in the sand and not believe it or not. It's happening. So the most important thing is not to go into a state of fear, because fear is an energy exchange. Fear is also a commodity which is being taken. It's being used. It's when you get in the place of fear, entities are actually feeding off that. And DNA and genetics, it's like a commodity off-world. DNA is a very expensive commodity like diamonds or gold here. So if we're allowing our genetics to be taken, siphoned, used for whatever purposes, we're not doing the best thing for ourselves, for our future selves. We're not doing anything great for the planet. So one thing that actually combines everything we're talking about is our health. Now, people out there, the first step usually to the awakening process is health. And if you haven't got health going on, if you're not in control of your stomach, your microbiome, which is where a lot of these parasites and things end up, the feel-good hormones and feel-good chemicals actually are created most of the time in the stomach, and they're transported to the brain. So if we're not in control of our brain, our stomach-heart-mind connection, we actually can't access these high frequencies. We won't have the information coming down. We won't be able to fathom just the grandness and the grand scale of everything that's happening. So the first step is always getting your health in track. And that means mental health, physical health, but also spiritual health. And when I say spiritual health, I mean sitting there with that mindfulness, you know, getting there and sitting down, shutting off and getting into that place of peace and calm where you ground. Sit outside in nature with your feet off. It's a fact that anxiety levels, depression and all that disappear by 30% just from grounding and sitting out in nature, just from sitting in nature and grounding, because we're a being that's intricately connected with the stars, with the trees, with the earth, with the elemental spirits, with everything. So we have to find that balance. And if we're wandering around the city on concrete all day long, getting blasted by Wi-Fi, sleeping underneath electricity towers and all the rest of it, we have to do something on this side to bring ourselves back to balance, because we're constantly getting hit here, and this is where we need to be. We need to do operations and scenarios that are going to bring us up to the middle and stay in that balanced state. And if that means going out in the bush for a week, taking holidays, getting into the ocean as much as you can, doing the meditation practices, start with the basics, okay? Start with getting your health and getting your life on track, getting yourself in some sort of a routine where, it's so funny me saying routine, because I'm completely not the person who's ever had a routine, but for people out there, routine does help. And then we can start getting into the more detailed information and the more deeper, darker stuff. This is going to come whether you like it or not. We're all going to be faced with a time of merging. It just depends whether it's now and you're already in the thick of it, or if it's next year or the year after or next week. Even just by this information now, by listening to James and what he's talking about, he's putting coding out there. There's actually coding which is going into your psyche, it's going into your vessel, and it's awakening parts of you. It's turning on things. DNA and RNA is flashing like this because it resonates. And everything we say, everything we talk, everything we eat, breathe, hear, see, this is all information. So it's either upgrade information, which is benefiting us, or it's going to lower our frequency and it's going to take us into a plate of degeneration, disease, and old age. So there's two ways. You can see around the face of the planet now that we have 10,000% increase in childhood cancer. We have a 3,000% increase in adult cancer. That's just in the last 50 years. Something's not right here. We need to take a look at what's going on and go, okay, the whole world is being poisoned off. What are we doing? Why is this happening? What's different? We're vaccinating ourselves. We're eating food-like products. We're drinking copious amounts of sugar and artificial flavors, aspartame and artificial sweeteners. We're guzzling down soy. People are going and getting fast food. Let's just get back to being basic. Let's get back to healthy organic food, which if you can, grow yourself in your own garden. You know what I mean? Grow your own food, plant it with love. Even plants have coding in it. They're alive, living, sentient beings. So this health scenario is basically the bridge into everything else, because we just literally will not get there. We will not activate our DNA. Things will not come online until we start taking inroads into our health first.
Absolutely. And people should start to pay attention to how, as Greg Matrix talks about, the divine matrix, Greg Braden, rather, talks about the divine matrix, how when you put out a thought and intention, a query, into the, you know, the ether, so to speak, and it's powered by emotion, and usually, in our case, it would be like a one of joy, one of abundance, one of, you know, an uplifting kind of energy, sooner or later, the divine matrix will respond. And you're noticing this, I'm sure, Nate, many of your listeners are noticing, the time lag between the answer to the query that goes out, the time lag from the time we want something to manifest for a good purpose, a wholesome purpose, to the time it manifests, that time lag is getting shorter and shorter. It means that we're literally able to manifest. But what's happened all this time is, so many things have been done to us to disconnect us from source and to make us feel that we're just, you know, blood bags and we're just this lowly kind of scum of the multiverse kind of thing. We just have to remember where we're from, and it starts with eating real food. I like green superfood drinks. I like, you know, drinking clean water. I mean, all the basics like that. And it's a frequency war, folks. I have go to orgoneffects.com. It's a guy up in Melbourne, I think, and he makes the GeoCleanse Harmonizer. Mm. I wouldn't go without this thing. If I unplug that GeoCleanse Harmonizer, it's a little rectangular orgone block about yay big with a power plug in it. If I unplug it right now, this whole house would be bathed in electromagnetic smog, right? And so, you know, I don't go without it. I have, you know, big tensor rings underneath my bed. And, yeah, it's – oh, that's
one right there. Look at it.
Yeah, that's a beautiful one. All the little, you know, bulbs which amplify the energy. That's excellent. Because I'm a firm believer in tensor rings, and there's certain I love grounding kind of stones like hematite and selenite for higher dimensional frequencies. This is frequency war, folks. Mm. They hammer us constantly with these negative frequencies, and we're supposed to think that, oh, that's just like New Age la-di-da fluff. No, it's not. Nope. It's because the New Agers, you know, give you a bad impression about it. You know, it's the crystals. That's where we're going to be going next, is the silica crystalline skeletal structure, DNA profile. That's where we're headed to. That's what we need to get out of this matrix. And another thing also, and I'm glad you brought it up, Nate, is for those of you who remain wedded to what people call the 5 cents conspiracy, i.e. the monetized debt system scam, et cetera, you're not going to realize when this archontic, interdimensional, extraterrestrial malignancy will manifest in your life, because they work through people. Because of the long-term genetic manipulation of people, going back countless millennia, there are so many people in our society today that have the genetic profile which makes them suitable as a host for one or more negative entities. So there could be people in your life, bad association, that are chock-a-block full of entities, and they keep bringing misfortune, bad luck, et cetera, in your life, and you're wondering, well, gee, you know, why is that? It's because it's not only just him or her, it's the entities working through that person, right? And also, you have to come to grips with the fact that excuse me, these entities know us, and these adepts, these warlocks, these mind controllers, they understand the human experience in its totality. We spend most of our life sleeping. Right? Well, some people do. I never got a lot of sleep in my life. But fully, some people spend two-thirds of their life sleeping, and when they're asleep, and if they're not a lucid dreamer, and they haven't grounded themselves, and they don't have all these protective frequency barriers like we just talked about a moment ago, they're like ripe for the plucking, because these entities can enter into your astral dreamscape. They can make you dream things. They can program you and condition you in your sleep state. So you wake up mad at somebody. You wake up mistrustful of your partner, and you don't even know why. You wake up and you make poor decisions, and then you combine that with the bad association of entity-infested people around you, and then they, you know, mess with your will system. They mess with your volition. You become indecisive. You become like ripe for the plucking, basically. Mm. So it's one thing to be ignorant about this stuff, but ignorance is not bliss, folks, because this other world is rapidly merging with this 3D surface world that we see around us. So you have like an animal, okay? Like when a doe is born in the wild, its parents hide it in the bush because the parents know the nature of the multiple threat environment in which that young deer has to survive in. But look at us. We're supposed to be the top of the food chain. We're not, okay? But we're supposed to be the top of the food chain. What do parents do? They bring their children to get vaccinated. They give them baby formula, which is mostly made up of sugar and aspartame.
And fluoride okay? water.
Fluoride water. They're not aware of the nature of the multiple threat environment that they're in. Animals in the wild can detect, not just by sound or scent, changes in the atmospheric pressure, changes in the energetic atmosphere. A lot of humans can, a lot of people I do and I know can. They know when there's an invisible presence, a negative presence, or a positive presence that's invisible in the room.
Yes.
But a lot of people don't because they're blocked up, too dense.
Yeah, my dog, James, is so tapped in. He's like a protector or something, a big white fluffy samoyed. I actually take him to my seminars and talks. He's been in ceremony with me. He's been in sweat lodges. He's just done all the work. And with food, like, you know, I'll get some marijuana leaves and he'll grab it and just shake it and gob it down. Then I try of all different types, organic, non-organic. And if it's actually, you know, pesticide-covered conventional fruit and veg, he'll sniff it and he'll look at me like, he'll actually look at me like, are you serious? Like, he knows the food, what's good for him, what's not. And also picks up on people's energetic signatures. When we had a harpe, which is a tobacco ceremony, it's called rape. There was a couple of guys, these big bodybuilders who are doing it really tough. And he wandered around the room and laid next to these two guys. And they just kind of put a hand on him and held his paw. And the animals are still kind of tapped in, where we used to be human beings. We used to be tapped into all this, the Aborigines, the North American Indians, the Peruvian shamans and these people, they've still got all these connections. And this is the knowledge that needs to be passed on, the knowledge that we're not getting because we're going home, sitting in front of the idiot box, eating some Maggi noodles in front of the television. And the family is not talking about anything. Oh, what'd you do at work today? Where back before, we used to sit around the campfire and the elders would pass down the knowledge. They'll pass down the information, the techniques to do with everything, all the stuff that we don't get caught and don't get taught in school. Because let's be honest, you go through 12 years of schooling, you come out with zero knowledge. The only thing I learned in school was from one teacher who was a little bit alternate, and he taught us about getting a green slip, registration, insurance, all these things like that. And that was the only thing that I took from my school career that I was like, that helped me in my actual life. I didn't learn about gardening. I didn't learn about putting seeds under my tongue and putting the DNA from my body into these seeds, planting them in the garden, and that's my healing plant. Like, I didn't learn techniques like this. I didn't learn how to connect with the stars, Mother Earth, Gaia, what is Gaia, like multidimensional realities. Like, we actually just missed out on so much beautiful information that we need to kind of catch up with now. And I just see the animals and how they interact. Two dogs who have a fight, they both shake because that's what shaking is. They're shaking off their energy. That's why when boxers get into the ring, they shake because your body's releasing a stress hormone. So you intuitively shake to flick this out of your lymph node system. Dogs have a fight, then 5 seconds later, they're friends again. They got over it. They're done. There's no grudges. There's no egoic thing. It's just like it's finished. It's over with. It's moved on. And so many people in this world are getting offended by things. Their ego is getting triggered by this. Oh, how could you say that to me? Oh, how could you do that? And it's like this sense of entitlement mixed in with ego, mixed in with like self-worth, that people are being triggered over anything. Like, you know, you just drive on the road and someone cuts in and people are pumping the horn.
Yeah,
it's like just put your brake on for 2 seconds.
That's right.
Come on.
Even when you honk the horn to warn them about something, they get mad. You know what I mean? It's like, totally. That's not what I had in mind. Pal, I was warning you about. You know, it's like, yeah. It's just what happened was the eradication of the Mother Earth, the divine feminine principle, and the eradication of divine masculine principle. Both it was replaced by this weird kind of hybrid. Kind of left-brained, misogynistic kind of thing. And now you look at these empty vessel social justice warriors, which the universities are excreting by the gallon. It's like they're all over the place. They're screaming at everything except those things that really matter, right? And there are all these safe zones that are being created. Where we have to be so mindful of offending people and so mindful of appearing racist. And it's just more manipulation. It's more social engineering, more cultural Marxism. In the old days, a young boy would look up in the skies at night and say, oh, that's Orion. That's the Pleiades. That's the Big Dipper. It's like, You know, they can hear the sounds of the desert, the sounds of the wilderness, and they were just in tune. But, you know, people have been so detuned from that, and we need to get back to that. And we can do it from the comfort of our own homes. We can do it. You know, some people can't get out really to the country because they're stuck in the middle of a city. Mm. But there are ways around that, you know. So
we need to get back to that. James, you're 100% on point there. And I really feel like we should plug your seminar too. And before we do that, what I want to say to people is if you're interested in doing sweat lodges, Native American Indian sweat lodges here in New South Wales, like I do them with a shaman who's here. So you guys can connect with me through Facebook. That's a good way to come back to earth, come back to nature, get in there, get on the ground, sing some blessings and connect. Like this guy's the next level. So they are available. You can jump on and find me on Facebook. Also, we're going to be doing weekend retreats, taking people out to my farm down south. So that's an experience where we'll have a few days and we're going to crack through the layers of programming, getting earth, getting out there, getting into the water, doing cold water plunging and things like that. These are the simple things that we need to just jump into. And the Western world, and especially Sydney, everyone's going on holidays and they go somewhere, then they come back and then they need another holiday from the holiday because they didn't actually have a holiday. They're constantly thinking about the next step. They'll never at any point being present that whole entire holiday. So there's a few things that are available there to you. And also, if people are having UFO abductions and MyLab scenarios, KJ Scoops, who was supposed to come on, I'll put her details at the end. She's a very good person to connect with. She can remove stuff. She can heal. She can go in and scan and see what type of interference is happening. So she's going to be working in with us. Plus, I've got another couple of healers, who I really highly recommend. And you also do sessions with people too, James.
Consults. I share what I know with people who are going through alien abductions, reptilian abductions, military right. abductions, you know, give them an idea of what it is they're involved in and ways to kind of stay grounded and ways to kind of detach from the manipulation. And, you know, while we got a time, very quickly, I'll talk about the reptilian aspect. I'm going to talk about the physical abductions, yep. medical experimentation, psychological behavior modification, the sexual manipulation, the astral manipulation, and then I'll talk about the greater reptilian overlordship that we see around us. From the military standpoint, the abduction standpoint, I'm going to talk about what my labs are, the kinds of settings, scenarios, training they're subjected to, kind of mind control they're subjected to. All up, it'll be about 4.5 hours with probably 2 15-minute breaks, and that's coming up Eastwood Leagues Club, March 25th, just a couple of weeks away. It's from 10:30 in the morning to 3:30 in the afternoon. It's only $40, right? I'm not going to be one of these people in the New Age community. Oh, yeah, you know, $900 for that, you know, visualization. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
So $40, I'm going to give you a full-scale briefing. You can either pay on my website, thecosmicswitchboard.com, or you can pay at the door, but, you know, I can't guarantee seating. So just, you know, as soon as you can, just try to get yourself a ticket. I'm also going to give a similar lecture in Melbourne in April and also other places in Australia. I'll let you know on my website as time goes on.
Beautiful, James. So that's, guys, 25th, 2017, and it's 117 Rydale Road, West Ryde. So I'll be down there. A whole bunch of my tribe will be there too. So it's a good chance not only to listen and to absorb James's beautiful information, but this is a gathering. This is an opportunity to network with like-minded people. And like I was saying at the start, this is a very, very important thing. These seminars are great. The information is great. But sometimes the connections in the seminar could be the reason why you're there, because you go off and fireworks explode with someone you meet. So this is a very good chance to meet some of your more than likely soul tribe and your soul family.
Thank you for having me on the show, Nate. I really appreciate it. It's been a wonderful experience. And definitely want to have you come on my show, The Cosmic Switchboard. And, you know, you can talk about whatever you want. We'll have a great time.
Yeah, cool. Thank you very much, James. And what I'll do at the end of this, I'm going to put in some links. I'll put in your Cosmic Switchboard email address. I'll put in photos, all the rest of it, so people can connect with you so they can get their soul read out. They can see what else you're up to and jump on your YouTube channel. And also put a couple of bits of information to do with KJ and Jake Soul and a few people, because a lot of people have this heavy-duty implants in them, and we need to get that out so they can move forward. So that's, I'll put some names down that people can network with who I've found in my life to be the best in the industry. I only promote people who I find who are amazing. I'm not here to try and get a million Facebook views. It's about networking with the right people and getting the right information out there. And I feel that what you covered today was extraordinary. And I know that you're going to go into so much more depth in this seminar because you're a wealth of knowledge. So thank you very much, James. And let's talk again shortly.
Absolutely. Have a good one.
Thanks, buddy.